It's the end of the 1690s, somewhere between two Caribbean islands. Nathaniel North is standing on the bridge of the HMS Assistance, an English warship. He's been sailing with her for some months, hunting French vessels straying into the area. And yet, he absolutely wishes he wasn't. Were it up to him, Nathaniel North would be on board a pirate ship, hunting down the vast wealth in the holds of the ships sailing between Europe and the New World. Unfortunately for him, he's a sailor in the Royal Navy, taken by the captain of a warship and forced to serve the King of England. This, though, is the day Nathaniel North decided to recover his freedom. While much of the crew is busy at the prow, he seeks out a hidden little corner behind the stack of wooden barrels where he would be left alone. Dry land is ahead, just shy of 6 miles away. Without a second thought, he dives into the surf and starts to swim the distance. After a few hours of grueling effort, he washes up on the beach. He's completely spent, at the point of collapse, but he's alive. He rolls over and gazes at the ship he just escaped. His new life starts now. One of a wandering seafarer whose destiny will take him to the other side of the world in the Eastern Seas. To celebrate the release of the new Skull and Bones video game, discover the stories of some of the most infamous pirates of the Indian Ocean. The cruel, bloodthirsty privateers, buccaneers, and sailors-turned-criminals terrorized and pillaged the seas. Pirates were not born. They were made. I'm Michelle Rodriguez, and you're listening to Gangsters of the Seas. Nathaniel North was born in Bermuda in 1675. He came from a devastatingly poor family. His father, a carpenter, probably arrived in his hometown of Tuckerstown after being taken into the Royal Navy. Bermuda was a required stop for many ships setting off on transatlantic voyages. This English archipelago in the North Atlantic, lost between the American coastline and the Old World, played host to a large variety of vessels. It was an island of merchants, sailors, and pirates. Nathaniel North was just 17 or 18 when he heard about the exploits of the Bermudan Captain Thomas Chew in the Indian Ocean. He was fascinated with the tales of ships from Eastern empires teeming with treasures that were easy to take over. This was more or less when he decided to leave his father's workshop and set sail for the first time. In 1693, he found work as a chef on a pirate ship. Despite being far removed from the navigation and the positions of responsibility, the young man quickly found his sea legs and enjoyed a unique atmosphere among the crew. Their hard work was rewarded with regular bounties. Nathaniel North's ship was sailing towards Jamaica in the Caribbean. However, he would not stick around there. 2 years later, in 1695, during a routine crossing from one island to another, his ship was boarded and searched by the HMS Reserve, a towering 46-gun frigate led by Captain Wilmot. This military vessel had just finished a mission against the French territories in Saint-Domingue. While the mission had been a success, the crew had been decimated. As well as those who died in battle, hundreds of sailors were struck down by a ravaging fever. To build his crew back up, the captain was boarding pirate ships and ordering the pirate captains to give him a significant portion of their own crew. Nathaniel North's ship was one of these. Its sailors were pillaged. North, like dozens of others, found himself on the bridge of the English warship. This young man who loved the pirate lifestyle, the freedom to sail from bounty to bounty, suddenly found himself under the iron fist of a war-loving captain and was paid practically nothing to boot. He was also forced to fight. In early 1696, he was involved in the attack on the French frigate Espérance under the command of Chevalier de Mont. The bloody battle saw great damage on both sides. North, however, saw an opportunity. Alongside a handful of men, he used the surrounding chaos to secretly launch one of the lifeboats and row away to nearby San Tomán. He did not stay on the island for long. As soon as the moment presented itself, he joined a new pirate ship. Unfortunately, luck was clearly not on the side of our Bermudan carpenter. His new vessel also crossed paths with the Royal Navy warship. Like the first time, he found himself forced to work on another ship. Some people believe in fate, not Nathaniel North. During a stop on land, he slipped away yet again. He spotted the Neptune, a privateer seeking provisions nearby, and negotiated his way onto the crew. Once on board the Neptune, our young Bermudan helped with several bounties, the greatest of which being a French vessel captured just as it was leaving a battle. And yet Nathaniel North seemed to be haunted by the English Navy. He had barely finished counting his share of the bounty before being taken onto yet another Royal Navy ship. His new seafaring home was the HMS Assistance. He was forced to travel with them for several months until another opportunity presented itself. While the ship was anchored off the coast of a little island, North snuck away from the other sailors and dove into the water. This time was the one. He swore it. He refused to ever serve the king again. He would rather die. Nathaniel North then joined a band of pirates getting ready to set sail to the colony of Rhode Island in New England. In the fall of 1696, the crew found itself off the coast of Newfoundland in Canada. One of the men in the crow's nest shouted down that he spotted the sails of a brigantine flying the French flag. The wars waged between the French and most of the European nations were still raging, and nothing prevented the pirates from attacking. Despite its 18 guns, the French Pelican was powerless in the face of the rabid, fanatical English, and the ship was forced to surrender after a short battle. The captain gave up his ship and everything she was carrying. Nathaniel North then set sail on the captured vessel and was appointed quartermaster under Robert Colley. The Pelican's new crew sailed to Rhode Island, where the captain was commissioned to hunt for French vessels off the coast of Western Africa. This mission started at the end of the summer of 1697. However, no sooner had the ship hoisted anchor for Africa than the war ended. Their mission was terminated, and had they boarded any vessels, even French ones, it would have been illegal. When they found this out, the Pelican's crew had two options. They could play by the rules and turn around, or they could go rogue. The choice was submitted as a vote to the crew, which unanimously favored the latter option. They also voted to decide on their destination. With little hesitation, they chose to venture toward the new promised land for piracy, the Indian Ocean, where the Bermuda captain too found his infamy.
When John Skerlock gives the call,
John Skerlock steers.
Get up, you sand sacks, one and all.
John Skerlock steers.
And when Skerlock...
After sailing around the Cape of Good Hope, the Pelican made a quick stop on Nosy Baraha Island to the east of Madagascar. The pirates were stocking up on rations and munitions there. Once finished, they set sail to the Bab el Mandeb Strait, entryway into the Red Sea. They weren't the only ones following the footsteps of Thomas II, though. When they arrived, they found two other pirate ships prowling the area. The first was the Mocha, under the English captain Robert Culliford, and the second was the Soldado, under the Dutch captain Dirk Chivers. The Pelican's captain didn't want them to fight for potential bounty, instead suggested joining the little pirate squadron. The three captains came to an agreement on the fair shares of future bounties and patiently awaited their first prey. And what prey it would be. Just a few days later, the lookout spotted sails through his telescope. The three ships sprung into action. The Pelican, though, was inefficient and in poor condition, and struggled to keep up. Ultimately, by the time it was finally able to reach its target, Chivers and Culliford's crews had already done all the work. The Great Muhammad, a Mughal vessel, had surrendered and was already watching the pirates raid its hold. Nathaniel North and his crewmates on the Pelican looked over the scene with horror. They were transfixed by the bodies and severed heads strewn over the bridge. They knew that they weren't getting their shares of the spoils. The Pelican's first attempt had been a crushing failure. They wouldn't give up, though. Instead of staying in the Red Sea, the pirates decided to head further east. They set sail for the Gulf of Oman, off the Malabar coast in India. Their strategy paid off. They were able to take two Mughal vessels in quick succession and had barely finished carrying off the spoils when their next prey came into view. A majestic Arab ship armed with 26 guns. The pirates were still raring to go and were not planning on letting this slip by. As soon as they finished collecting their last bounty, they raised their sails again. Once they reached their target, the captain ordered them to fly the Jolly Roger, the famous black pirate flag. The Arab crew ahead of them fired off several cannon shots, but this warning had no effect on the pirates, who also started shooting, and their shots fired true. The pirates moved closer to their target, boarded it, and charged into the fight, brandishing their swords. Their failure in the Red Sea had left them frustrated, and they were eager to take it out on the enemy crew. The combat was bloody and brutal, but the Pelican came out on top. The spoils were splendid. Pounds and pounds of gold, silver, and spices, and better yet, a brand new ship to replace the ailing Pelican. They renamed their new ship the Dolphin. With their three successive victories, the pirates felt invincible. They decided to keep heading east and ultimately reach the Strait of Malacca, south of the Gulf of Thailand. They found some good new hauls here, but they also faced a violent storm that left the men and ship battered. They chose to return to Madagascar to fix the damage and divvy up the treasure that they had gathered during the voyage. The amassed wealth allowed every man on board to pocket 400 pounds, more than a sailor would earn in a life of service. They set sail once again a few weeks later, in the spring of 1699. At this time, they were off the northwest coast of Madagascar, among the Comoro Islands. Once there, they captured a well-laden Danish merchant vessel. However, their luck was turning. They were anchored in a bay when they spotted three ships in the distance heading right toward them. The captain monitored them carefully through his telescope. They were flying the English flag and clearly armed to the teeth. Rather than fighting, the crew decided to scuttle their ship. The pirates desperately wanted to avoid being taken again, or worse, killed outright. They set the Dolphin ablaze and disembarked onto the beach. To their great surprise, however, Captain Littleton, at the head of the English squadron, was not there to arrest them. He had been sent to tell the pirates that they had been offered a royal pardon. He added that Captains Culliford, Chivers, and many others had also accepted their pardon. Upon hearing the news, much of the crew decided to accept the pardon as well. Nathaniel North, though, was one of the few men who remained doubtful and refused to give up his pirate life. In early 1700, North joined another band of pirates in the region. Alongside them, he captured several more vessels and resumed his criminal lifestyle. They could be found a little later sailing off the coast of Mauritius, where the governor of this recently French territory was quite clement towards the pirates. North and his crew then temporarily set up shop on the coast of Madagascar. This continent-sized island was home to several rival kingdoms, and the seafarers were also able to earn money off the land here. They formed relationships with local leaders to fuel rivalries and spark conflict. The pirates profited from this, selling prisoners into slavery on European vessels passing by Madagascar, or even directly to the governor of Mauritius, who desperately needed a workforce to build the foundations of his new French colony. Nathaniel North and his motley crew had a few ambitious goals. At the turn of a century, they sailed to one of the islands in the Comoro archipelago. Here, they kidnapped a local sultan and held him for ransom, not for cheap. But it was on the waves that they really made their fortune. In 1707, Nathaniel North set off on a new naval campaign. He was quartermaster on the Charles, a pirate ship captained by John Halsey. North was once again cruising on the waters of the Indian Ocean. He was eager to make up for his first failure in the Red Sea years prior. He would not miss this time. The crew of the Charles was able to capture two English vessels at the entrance of the Bab el Mandeb Strait. After a ferocious battle, Captain Halsey took one of the new ships and left the Charles in the hands of Nathaniel North. A Bermudan carpenter, accustomed to his role of quartermaster, found himself captain of his own ship for the first time. He was just 32. But his captaincy did not last long. While Captain North sailed close to the coast among the Comoro Islands, the Charles found itself caught in a violent sea swell. Despite its desperate maneuvers, the ship was flung against razor-sharp rocks. The crew was forced to abandon ship, and they lost their vessel and the treasure in her hold. Nathaniel North and some of his men were able to make it back to Madagascar, but they arrived destitute. The short-lived pirate captain turned back to his activities of political advisor in the shadows for a local warmongering king. He spent several years actively involved in the slave trade, providing Western colonies with slaves. However, North started to attract unwanted attention due to his unsavory trade. A price was put on his head. In 1712, while sleeping peacefully in his bed, Nathaniel North was assassinated by men from a rival tribe. The Bermuda-born pirate died in Madagascar, on the other side of the world, after a long career spent sailing the high seas. This show is hosted by me, Michelle Rodriguez. Written by Gaspar Walou and Philippe Rodège. Produced by Morgan Jaffe, Axel Gobert, Clement Lesaf. Production assistants are Sophia Martins, Brendan Galbraith, and Amy Faconier. Mixing and editing by Adrian Leblon. International coordination by Martin Stahl. The executive producers are Emmy Norris, Lorenzo Benedetti, Benoit Deneg, Louis Debuzzi, and Oriane Betoni. And special thanks to Molly O'Keefe, as well as the Ubisoft team, Etienne Bouvier, Julian Fab, Lionel Hiller, Nick Kunster, Sebastian Rotto, Justine Villeneuve, and the Ubisoft Singapore teams.